Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, the Podfather, Doug Tonis. How you doing,
bro? I mean, apparently we're just crying based on our pre-show conversation. We're all our kids are moving out. We're old. going through some stuff with I'm doing great. The Bulls are going to pick 12th, which was, you know, amazing. We're really excited about that and missing, number one by, one number on one ball. So, you know, very close, but no cigars. I don't know. It is what it is.
My thoughts came to the games that the Bulls won at the end of the year. In retrospect, probably would have preferred to have one loss if it meant getting, you know, flag. And I just tweet. So I brought up the point, you know, the half court shot by Giddy, and all of a sudden I was like hit with venom and a lot of anger. And I think it just is a sad reflection on the state of the fan base that people like took that as somehow as a shot to Giddy. Wasn't trying to be a shot on Giddy. It was just highlighting a point that even the highest of highs, the greatest moment, arguably last season, I don't think there's a debate on it. It was the most exciting moment last season in a weird way, potentially could have cost us Cooper Flag. So, like, I'm just highlighting the general, what's the word, uselessness of all those 39 wins in a really crappy conference. It really kind of put a dour note on the season. But more importantly, I think it's really drawn a lot of hard wedges between the fan base. What say you?
I mean, clearly, it was random. Like the actual results are random chance, right? Like clearly if you lost one more game, but it could have gone the other way, right? The number could have just come up one different. It's not like the Mavs had different odds than us or meaningfully odds than us. So it's just random chance. So when I tweeted about like if we had finished eighth, which is where we projected, had we been tanking at the trade deadline, we would have also moved up to number two. And again, that's also a random chance, right? It could have been the seventh team. We could have tanked and just ended up picking ninth, you know, or 10th. Like, so it's not like, you know, it was really just more of a note that it's like, wow, had we gone either one of these kind of paths, like we just sort of missed it by a little bit. Like if we tanked the spot we probably would have landed would have moved up to number two. And if we were just things came out like a hair different, we would have been number one, even basically where we were. So, it's not like, oh, wow, well, this was some organizational failure in some big way. Like I didn't view it that way, but it just almost stings a little bit more to know like you were so close and kind of all these missed it by that much. And yeah, now we're going to go into the next season in, you know, kind of this same similar state. The East at least looks like it might be the worst it's ever been. And the East has been pretty bad a lot of times. So that's saying a lot, but you know, with Tatum probably going to miss the whole year next year, Giannis possibly being traded. And if he's not, you know, Lillard's going to miss the whole year next year. Philadelphia is clearly in the tank and it's going to suck next year. And like they did this year, like it's like a wide open conference. Like you might see a team like Orlando be like the second best team in the conference next year if they grow.
Or Detroit, or New York,
which is going to piss you off. But New York, I mean, New York might just be the best team in the East next year. And you know, Indiana, like these aren't great teams, right? Like these are not teams that you'd be like, wow, they have championship material. And any one of those teams could possibly be the best or second best team in the conference. It's looking really weak. And I guess if you want to look at some upside, you know, the Bulls who are ninth, like they could be a player away from being in the mix for like five just because the conference is so bad. you know, like, I don't think they're going to be a great team, but I mean, it's like, you could really make some hay next year in terms of at least getting to the playoffs and maybe even winning a series. Like, if, like, I don't think it's crazy to say, like, we might be able to beat Indiana in a series if we got, like, another guy. I mean, we're not going to be favored, but, like, it's open enough that it's like, you can squint real hard and see how they could have some success. And I'm not saying that's, we're close to a title in any stretch, just, man, like, you could have some success next year.
No doubt. Yeah, I think what you're saying is, and I think you would agree with me, right? The best team in the conference next year could be probably the Knicks or Cleveland, you know, if they come back and make a few changes, minor changes. And I think we would both agree. I would absolutely say the New York Knicks would be the seventh or eighth best team in the Western Conference, likely. I don't think they're exceptionally talented. Maybe fifth, sixth, but I could name four teams I would comfortably say are definitively better in the West than the New York Knicks. It's just, to me, it's a bigger sign of the differences in the conferences, especially if Giannis gets sent to the West. If he ends up going to San Antonio, which I think San Antonio has a great package potentially to send to them, or let's say he goes to Houston, like, there's Milwaukee off the table. You know what I mean? Like, Doug, it's the difference in the conference is so massive. I don't ever recall it being this bad. If we see a few minor changes, if Tatum is out and if Giannis is gone,
yeah.
What say you?
Yeah, through most of the era of the bad East, like, we still had LeBron in the East, right? In his prime. And so, like, the LeBron team was, like, a legit team. You know, the Miami Heat, or even when he was with the Cavs, like, those were legit teams, and they could be competitive in the finals. So they didn't have to beat anyone. They just had really... We at least have one team that was legit. And, like, I don't think there's going to be a legit team in the East next year. So that's, that'll be, I think that's the biggest difference, is, like, there's not going to be a single legit team in the East next year. Whereas we've always at least had one, and then that was it. We only had one, but at least you got to the finals and there was one. And now it's like, you know, it's pretty bad. Like, you probably have to go back to maybe, like, the Lakers and the Kobe Shaq era in that period of time where it was like, whereas, yeah, like, the Nets made the finals and the Pacers made the finals and the 76ers made the finals until Detroit kind of emerged as, like, a legit team. You had some years in there where, like, whoever was coming out of the East was just freaking awful. But yeah, it's pretty bad. So
I kind of highlighted that Cody Westerlund tweet, which caused so much venom, and I didn't even realize he tweeted it before I did. I kind of followed up like an hour later, I guess great minds think alike, with the highlighting your tweet, you know, about the Giddy shot. Again, not being a shot at Giddy, it was just highlighting, you know, the highlight of the season really could have potentially cost us.
Well, you could take out a different game. Crumbles. You don't have to take out that one. Yeah, you could take out some other
games. Exactly, but I purposely... The reason I highlighted that one, though, Doug, is because you would agree that was the best game.
It was a miracle, though. Yeah, it was a miracle finish, which is why you highlighted it. But without this miracle, we would have had a much better miracle of having Cooper Flagg on the team, which would be the miracle we would prefer.
There is, though... I kind of brought this up with Drew Stevens in a previous... He joined us on the bus and when you had to work late that day. And I don't know if you feel this too. I don't think the fan base has ever been more divided in a really venomous way. Number one on Josh Giddey. And number two is this idea of tanking or not to tank. So I don't know if you saw like the victory lap that a lot of the anti-tankers took because the Mavs, you know, won which another big joke. I mean, out of all the teams to win it, it's the Dallas Mavericks. That said, what did you think of their victory lap? I mean, do you concur that it changed your thinking at all on because I pointed out on X that I'm literally generally confused at the reaction from the anti-takers. Like, I thought it worked for Philly. They were in the top three. And, you know, in bigger picture, they kind of pointed to Utah and D.C. And I was like, would you rather be picking where they are or where we are? Like, doesn't it theoretically give you a better shot at five or six? What say you?
I think people get a little bit too polarized on tanking versus non-tanking. And I guess I would just say players are never going to tank. Your coach is never going to tank. He's going to play the guys and try to win the games. And so it's your general manager has to tank by moving out current performing players for future assets. And there's like a whole economic theory I would say about this, which is like you're trying to align groups of assets to mature at the same time to give you the best result you can over a period of years, right? Like as guys get more expensive, it's hard to keep them and it's hard to keep things together and it's hard to keep something going for a long time. And so your strategy has to be cohesive across what you're doing. And so if we just said we're going to trade everyone to be bad this single year, like that would not be a useful strategy. And I think like people who are anti-tank would kind of point to that as like an execution of that. If you were to say over the past 3 years, we traded Caruso earlier for 2 first-round picks, DeMar earlier for 2 first-round picks, Zach LaVine when he was worth 2 first-round picks, Vooch when he was worth 1 first-round pick, and you were then really bad to start off 2024, 2025, and 2026, and then you also had like 7, 8, 9 extra first-round picks coming in. Now that's a cohesive strategy of aligning a lot of talent to come in kind of at one time, grow together, and then and put something together. And so I think like in the end, it's like you got to align a strategy overall to achieve this kind of like big gain in results. And when you don't really have much future, that's the time you want to trade current assets for future assets, right? Like you're not going anywhere anyway. So the current assets aren't really paying off. And that's why you try to push their value into the future rather than taking the current value. You're trading current value for future value for some team that wants current value. And that I think is the thing we didn't do over the past few years. Now, could we have done something a little bit different this year? I don't know if we could have or not. That would have made a big difference. So I think that's just the only thing that I would say about that is like you can't just be like, well, for 1 year I'm going to try and do this thing. Like that's pretty unlikely to be successful.
You just brought up a good point. I think what you said is kind of like you try to align to the best of your ability the timelines of these players, primarily for financial reasons, right? Is that what you're saying? Like if you're a team like Boston who had all these good vets, essentially very few young players, well, yeah, you're going to be a tax team, but at least you built a team that is going to kick ass and contend. That's one era. And then you look at a team like Oklahoma City, who just did it all through the draft and developing young players, and now they're all kind of developing at the same timeline. Now you're going to pay these guys. I guess Boston did the exact same thing in retrospect, but they added a few more vets and Holiday and White that are a little bit outside the timeline. But is that what you're kind of saying? Like it's kind of building. I guess there's two ways to build. Then is that your general point?
Beyond getting the elite players, you need to have them fit within some type of salary structure. Now, if you're competing for the title, you're probably going to pay some tax, and that's okay. I think even the Bulls will, even though people always say they won't. I think if they were competing for titles, they would. But you're not going to pay unlimited tax, right? There's going to be limits, so you have to stay within some type of salary structure. And it also becomes harder and harder to add pieces as you get into the tax. With all the aprons now, you get very restricted in the types of moves you can do. So you need to get everyone together at a time where they're all sort of peaking at once in a salary structure you can afford and have excellence. And so like you could, it's really hard to get the excellence part, but the other parts you can really see coming. Like you can see that Coby White is going to cost you a lot more in a year and you're going to have to decide whether you want to do that. You can see that Josh Giddey is going to cost you a lot more in a year. And so our salary structure is going to go up with a lot of these pieces we have. We're not going to have so much room to add more pieces. We also don't have a lot of assets to add a lot more pieces. And so we're lacking the excellence. We're not going to have a lot of financial flexibility. And we do have time. So we did get a lot younger. And I think that's one thing we really accomplished this year is to stay pretty neutral on talent while getting a lot younger. So we did definitely improve one of those metrics. But it's going to be tough because we don't have a good way to obtain the excellence and we're not going to have a lot of salary room.
Agreed. I mean, you're going to have a lot of pieces that are probably tradable, I imagine, and we could hopefully fit in as a third team in a couple of these trades with a couple expiring deals that are all around 18, with Collins and Herder. And they're actually not bad players. They could still potentially help a team. But I do feel like, I don't know if you agree with me on this, the best step for the Chicago Bulls next year is to be as bad as possible. And I agree, like teams are not trying. I think that's one thing that the anti-tankers say. Well, nobody's trying to lose. Nobody's arguing that. Of course they're not trying to lose games. I had a witness in 2017 or 18, a playoff Nets team, I think it was. Can't remember what it was, against like this group of idiots that the Bulls had cobbled together. And of course the Bulls won, you know, like you can't tell them to purposely lose, but you try to put more players in key positions, you know, or developing players in key positions and get Vooch off the roster so he doesn't shoot 40% from three again and win us three or four games, and Zach LaVine off the roster and just go with a young movement and a bunch of players that are still learning the game and be as bad as you can next year. And that probably means trading Kobe White because he's going to win you a few games. But I think with the assets or the draft assets that are available at the top of the draft that most people I respect say are just excellent next year, the top three, including Carlos Boozer's son. I think that's what you should try to do, because I don't see any other way this team's going to be a serious contender. Do you agree with that path forward? Or do you feel like, I don't know, the East is so bad, maybe we should try to go in the other direction, try to make something happen?
I think at this point, it almost doesn't matter. To what I said earlier, the challenge is like, you just aren't going to ramp up with a lot of assets. Like if you trade Kobe, what are you going to get? Like a mid first round pick, maybe? Then you're going to be bad for 1 year. Like, I mean, like, I feel like you really missed the boat by how you got here. And I think you're now in this position. And I think this is what the anti-tank crowd would tell you. And I understand it. And I don't know actually if I agree with it or not. I'm like actually kind of in the middle of this fence. Like I just lived through 3 years that kind of sucked. And now I have to start over and have it really, really suck. It's like, I didn't enjoy the last 3 years. And so there's a part of me that's like, you know what? I know this is not going to go anywhere, but just get me like another decent, like defensive center and let me win 45 games next year. And I know it's not going to build into anything, but just let me enjoy a season of like good passing and decent flow of offense and, you know, like beat up on some bad teams and get to the sixth spot and make the playoffs and lose in the first round to someone. Like, you know, I'm just kind of okay with that because, you know, what you just saw is like the worst teams in the league last year, like are drafting like fifth and sixth. And so, you know, it's like, there's no guarantee. And it's like, if you're only betting on like one pick to hit, like, I just feel like that's just such a, like a bad bet. And, you know, that's why I say like, you need to align this holistic strategy. And that's just going to be tough now because we don't have a lot of assets to get a lot back in. And, you know, I'm just, it's hard to stomach being that bad. So like, I just feel like it's sort of like no win. Like, I just feel like the tanking strategy now is like so low probability because you've not juiced yourself with a lot of assets. And the win now is like also super low probability. And I'm just distressed about the team no matter what. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I think I just kind of need a year to enjoy the team being watchable. Like at the end of this year, they were watchable. They were kind of fun after the trade deadline. And I think we both sort of enjoyed a lot of those games, which wasn't really the case earlier, even though, you know, like you look back at it and you're like, yeah, that was to no value. But at least it was kind of enjoying this team that looked like they were having fun and playing fast and moving the ball really well. And, you know, like it was kind of just fun to watch. And, you know, I could live with that for a year because I just think this tanking thing is not, it's with one pick is just such a low probability of doing anything. I would trade Kobe White if we get a good enough offer. You know, that to me just depends what the offer on the table is. I would definitely be looking to trade our expiring contracts to take on bad salary and get picks. If there's any deals like that on the table, we have a lot of expiring contracts. But I would maybe just say like, all right, like it's probably not going to go anywhere, but let's just enter 2026 off season with $100 million in cap space, even though there's not like a lot of great targets, and, you know, play the middle market and see what we can build. And maybe that's a team that looks more like the Pacers than a team that can win the title, but, you know, maybe that's more exciting than just praying on the lottery gods and watching your team win 20 years and be awful.
I did see one tweet from a follower, and I apologize, I can't remember who it was. It was a couple of weeks ago where he basically said, you know, what's your problem? We got three great young players or exciting young players under 25 and under. And he was referring to, obviously, Kobe White, Giddy, and Modest, and all our draft picks going forward. What's the issue? And I was... extremely angered by that, because that isn't, wasn't that exactly where we were in 2020 when these dopes took over? Like, we, in fact, one of the players that he's referring to was actually on the roster in 2020 in Coby White. So, like, yeah, I'm angry because we just lost 5 years for what? One playoff win? They're not, it seems like their job's not even in jeopardy. It's crazy. Like, any other front office in the NBA would be like, all right, sorry, guys. You tried a lot of bold moves. It didn't work. You know, on with your next position. These guys are given another opportunity to make another draft pick. A lot of questionable picks. Now, I did say, and I do believe this, that Modest basically saved him his job because he showed enough in his first year. All right, maybe we can go with Coby and Giddy and Modest. And I think in a way that's what you're saying is probably the better direction. I do feel like if we did get, like you mentioned, a kick-ass defensive center or power forward, we could see an improvement. And in this horrible East that will probably contain a lot of tanking teams next year, maybe even the Boston Celtics, who knows what they're going to do. In fact, if Tatum's out next year, I can guarantee you that maybe a Holiday or a White will be available in a trade to the Bulls. It's possible. Yeah, and you can make a few additions that are probably significantly improve the team. Maybe they can win 43. Maybe they can win 44. But again, that window with this front office is like 35 to 45, something like that. I just don't see any way they're going to build something that's a big contender. Unless, can I ask you a question? Did you see my post on this idea? With this idea? You ready? Are you there? Did I lose you already?
I'm ready.
No, I'm, hope you're not sleeping.
Just waited with bated breath. Look, I think you're correct about the things you said, generally speaking. Like, we've laid out similar things. I agree. Like, this front office is a disaster. They're just a disaster. I can't believe their jobs are not in jeopardy. And, that just is what it is.
Yep. So on 4/26, I made a post. If Giannis requested a trade out of Milwaukee, would you support the Bulls offering Bouzelis and multiple first round picks to acquire him this offseason? Now, let's just assume, I think we both agree and we both know that Houston and San Antonio and several teams can offer better options. But let's just say the Milwaukee Bucks front office really likes Bouzelis and they really like the first round picks that the Bulls have going forward. And maybe they like Coby White, or maybe they like Josh Giddey in a sign and trade. Like, whatever those assets are. Would you be open to that move? Yes or no? And then I'll share with you what the fan base pick.
I mean, sure. I'd be open to that move. Like, I'd be open to that move just because I could trade Giannis for something worth way more than that immediately after that trade, which is why it would never happen.
So you're just using him to have maybe a year and then trade him to another team for multiple picks.
I'd just trade him right away. I'd just be like, I don't know why you traded him.
Hey, Houston,
this
take,
because someone else would pay more than this immediately. Deal. Like, now let's go flip him to Houston. Like,
I don't know, though. I do feel like if let's say you moved Modest and Coby and then four first-rounders and a bunch of swaps, or Modest and sign and trade with Josh Giddey, four first-rounders and a bunch of swaps, I don't think that's an awful package. I really don't. Like, what's Houston going to come up with that's better than that, unless they throw in, you know, a guy who should be untradeable, and Thompson?
Yeah. Maybe the thing you could get out of it is that our picks – would still maybe project to be decent even with Giannis, because he'd probably ass out. So our picks have more value than other teams, yeah, exactly. Possibly. But like, I think the fan base is just like insane about their evaluation of Bouzelis. Like, people are like, I wouldn't trade. Like, I'm, and real GM, there's a bunch of people like, I wouldn't include Bouzelis for Giannis. And I'm like, Bouzelis and me have about the same chance of being as good as Giannis in our lives. Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, come on, dude. He scored like 9 points a game. Like, I like Bouzelis. I'm not saying he's bad, but like,
I agree with that. Yeah.
Giannis is a top three player in the NBA. No, Bouzelis is way too much. Come on. Bouzelis is for, this is, like, people would have said the same thing about like Pat Williams, like 4 years ago. Like, I'm not giving up on Pat Williams for Giannis. Like, come on. Like, yes, you are. This is no winner. That's the table unit. So, yeah. That's what I say about that. Like, I would do that trade, but not because I think you could build something with Giannis, but just because I feel like we could trade Giannis. But even if it couldn't, like, sure, I'll, like, Giannis and what we have, we could probably patch together like a 50 win team, and that would be way better than anything else we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would definitely be better, but, 61% of the fan base was for getting Giannis, and 39% said pass. We're happy with Bouzelis. I feel like we're really setting up Bouzelis for, yeah, Patrick Williams experience. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Bouzelis has a much higher ceiling than Patrick Williams. I never believed in Patrick Williams. I thought his first year was awful and he got a ton of opportunity. And I thought it was just complete laughable. Some of the comments about he looks like he belongs out there and all this other nonsense when the guy played half speed 45 to 65% of the time. Buzelis has got far more traits that I think will translate into potential greatness. That said, he had a lot of horrific stretches, which is not unexpected for a young player. And I wish we could just be honest about it too. Like, I hope his shot continues to develop. It wasn't great. You know, I hope he continues to improve. But yeah, if he ends up being an all-star, I do think he has all-star talent in him, but I'd be surprised if he ever is like a first or second team or even third team All-NBA. It would be a pleasant surprise, though, if he does achieve that.
Yeah, I think that's like the fringe like outcome for him. It's like he could be like a third team All-NBA, like all-star guy. Like, it's possible. Like, you could see how it can happen. It's not crazy, but it's not the likely outcome. And yeah, but I think he'll be a good player. Like, I think he's going to be a good player. I think he showed a decent amount.
Watching the playoffs, any thoughts on the playoffs in general? And, you know, more so, I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel after watching these playoffs, which have been some of the most exciting and best I've ever seen, it just leaves me with the impression that the Bulls are a lot farther away than any one of us would probably care to admit.
Is anyone denying that? I mean, like, we're not even in the galaxy. We're like nowhere. There's not even a path. Like, I don't think there's any. I mean, I don't know that anyone's arguing that we're close to anything.
Well, I think there's a path to us getting to the eighth seed.
Okay, how close is the eighth seed? The eighth seed isn't a path. Like, the eighth seed is a team that you normally think we should rebuild if this is our ceiling. Like, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't feel we're close to anything. So, yeah.
On that note, let's bring in the BRB. Starting next show, we're going to pick a player to evaluate and discuss now that we know we are in glorious number 1-2. The next show, Doug, why don't we hit, everybody's already talked about Cooper Flagg ad nauseum. Why don't we start out with guys that are more likely in that spot, and we'll do an evaluation and then head towards the front.
All right, we'll go nuts. I apologize for my work emergency cutting short our normal hour of big red busness, but we'll do better next time.
Sounds good, my man. All right, buddy. Talk to you again soon. Until next time,
go Bulls.
Let's go Bulls.